I'd heard about prostate cancer. Most men have. I even knew about the heightened risk for black men, which, when adjusted, means that it affects one in three of us. One in three. But this was only meant to happen to old men. Other men. That wasn't until it happened to me. I couldn't make these stories up. These are the stories, the good, the bad, and the unbelievable about my prostate cancer journey. So strap yourself in and let's go. Episode 24, filming the bees and the bricks. The idea was brilliant, and one of the reasons I was so looking forward to this particular talk. Now, I don't really like talking for construction companies, and the reason for that is because they kind of pay lip service to it. I understand it, you know, on a construction site, it's a busy environment. You can never tell where one person is going to be at a particular time. So what happens is they tend to just grab whoever's happened to be walking down the corridor and say, come and join this talk. That's generally been my experience of talks for construction companies. But this one was going to be different. I was going to do four talks in one day, and I was really excited about doing it. Atlassian Construction Company is based in East London. They are the biggest construction company that most people have never even heard of. They've built hundreds of buildings in London, primarily hotels and residential blocks. They have a large number of construction workers working for them, and they've won awards for health and safety and the treatment of their employees. One of the directors has a family member that was recently diagnosed with prostate cancer, prompting this chat. The plan is that if the feedback and the employees attending my meetings today is positive, then they want to hold meetings in all of their buildings and offices nationally. No pressure then. I met Alan at the small reception desk and he led me downstairs to the conference room. He gave me a brief tour of the offices, and I estimated that there were about 60 employees working in this particular site. It was his idea to have four separate meetings, so that as many people as possible could attend one of them. This made me think back to last year when I gave a presentation for a large insurance company. Now, I know this particular insurance company has over 5,000 employees in the head office building, which is where I was. However, there wasn't 15 people in the meeting. It was disappointing, but you just keep going. The revamp presentation had all the key messages that Prostate Cancer UK want us to get across, and I had added many of the quotes and facts and figures that I'd picked up along the way. The first group consisted of 10 employees, including four women, and was a good mix otherwise based on race and age. My new catchphrase, man up and shut up, when comparing the digital rectal examination to what women have to go through for a smear test, went down particularly well with the women and caused a bit of a debate. The rest of the presentation went really well. At the end, I had three employees waiting to talk to me, two men and one woman. One guy was in his 20s and told me about his battle with testicular cancer. He agreed that it's something men just don't want to talk about. He had been very different though, and he's been very open with his colleagues about the fight that he's been going through. This is the second time someone had mentioned testicular cancer to me after one of my talks. I had a brief investigation afterwards, and it's interesting to note that it's almost the opposite of prostate cancer. It is the most common cancer to affect men between the ages of 15 and 49, and white males have a higher risk of developing it than men from ethnic groups. The woman of the group had successfully had a cancerous growth removed from her neck, and the second guy waiting at the back of the room only came closer once the others had left. He shook my hand vigorously and held it. He said he really enjoyed my talk and he thanked me. Then he burst into tears. His father had died of prostate cancer. I got a tissue and handed it to him. I just held his shoulder as he sobbed. He sobbed hard, but only for a few minutes, and then he composed himself very quickly. I gently told him that he just needs to make sure that he gets tested, as he will be at risk. He nodded and thanked me again. We embraced, and he left. This is why I do this. I got over my earlier reservations regarding collecting money, and now I've got an official money tin. I decided to try selling some of the Prostate Cancer UK badges. And you know what? They were going down very well. Not quite like a sticky bun at a Weight Watchers meeting, but pretty decent otherwise. I can think of a certain Christian that I'd recently spoken to, who seemed to suggest that I wield this on myself, that I could certainly stick one of these badges on, preferably without the safety cap on it. But you know what? Today was going to be a day of good thoughts. The second group also went very well. It consisted of 11 employees and again was a good mix of men and women across all ages and races. When I said that I wanted to get a health check because I was turning 50, I could see two of the women mouthing to each other. He's 50? They couldn't believe it. I really like this group. When I mentioned that some men may experience resistance if they try to get tested, it resonated with one of the men that had experienced it himself. Luckily, the employees at Atlassian Construction would not have to worry too much about that experience. Alan had earlier told me that the company has a health plan for its employees and they had added the PSA test as an option. At the end of the talk, I got the first applause of the day and a few handshakes. This time around, one of the women in the group wanted to talk to me once everyone had left. She said she and her husband enjoy walking, but he frequently needs to go to the toilet, even if he has just been recently. Not only that, but it takes him ages to get his pee actually started. I didn't want to alarm her, but I said these are some of the classic symptoms of something being potentially wrong with the prostate. I urged her to tell him to see a doctor, and she readily agreed. I also asked her to let me know the outcome, and she promised that she would. Of course, never did. But this is why I do this. The third group only consisted of 5 employees, and they were happy, purchased badges, and off they went on their merry little way to put up some more bricks. The final group was another 10. They were engaged and had plenty of questions. The final questions came from one of the black guys. He was a bit sheepish about it and said I didn't need to answer if it was too hard or personal. He asked me how the impotence and incontinence was going now. I smiled. He may have got more of an answer than he ever expected. He apologised for what I was going through, and I said, thank you, but it's all good. I had a great day. I really enjoyed talking to this group. Alan said that he'd got some feedback already, and it had all been very positive. Now, that talk was at the beginning of the week. Little did I know that this week was going to end up being one of the busiest weeks I've ever had with regards to talking about prostate cancer. I got a surprise email from Alberto. He was the guy that the doctors delayed his testing, but it was actually for the good in the end. He had successfully had his radical operation, and he was just checking in on me. It was great to hear him, and the fact that he had contacted me so soon meant that he was in a really good place. A really good friend of mine, Nadine, spoke to me yesterday and gave me the bad news that her husband, Richard, had been diagnosed with prostate cancer. I had absolutely no idea he'd even gone for a test. I really felt for them both. They're such a lovely couple, and this was a blow they never expected. I spoke briefly to Richard on the phone, and he was the coolest, matter-of-fact person that I'd ever come across when faced with this. Almost just like me. In fact, he eerily reminded me of myself. And that was the bit that worried me. I was worried he was taking it too lightly, like I had done it initially. But we've arranged a talk in a couple of days' time. One of the nurses from Guy's Hospital mentioned me in my blog to one of her colleagues. This colleague organises a panel called King's Take on Cancer, KTOC. At this panel, 3 speakers related to cancer research, patients, recovery or treatment each have different backgrounds and different experiences. And they get them to talk for 20 to 30 minutes each and then to take questions from the audience. This event not only targets the students and faculty of the hospital, but also patients and patients' families. It will be held in King's College Hospital, and she hopes to make it an established monthly event that is motivational, raises awareness, and creates a platform for people to ask their questions. Also, they can see what is happening in cancer research, and perhaps in the future. Guy's Hospital had called me a few weeks ago and asked me if I was up for being filmed for an infomercial type video that they want to put together for prospective prostate cancer patients. Hey, something I'd never done before. I was readily up for it. So here I was at a reception of Guy's Hospital Cancer Center at a ridiculous hour of 7 o'clock in the morning. Did I get a cab in? Was I chauffeured in? Nah, none of that, mate. Just jump on the bus. Did I have a dressing room, makeup, even a hot beverage or a hot pastry waiting for me? Nope. All I could look forward to was having an empty disabled toilet as my dressing room, as I changed into my fetching black sweat trousers and t-shirt. But, you know, we thespians have to start from somewhere. I'm sure Denzel had similar humble beginnings. Today's shooting consisted of entering the hospital with my partner, giving blood and giving a specimen. The other highlight of the morning was when I was getting changed back into my clothes to go home. The executive dressing room, i.e. the disabled toilet, was now occupied, so I had to change into normal toilets. Unfortunately, I was in a male cubicle next to somebody else, either A, giving reverse birth, B, being consumed by something out of this world, or C, being dragged into a parallel urinal universe with all the noise that was going on. I tell you, I couldn't get out of that toilet quick enough. On Wednesday, I finally met up with Richard, and off we went to have dinner and talk about his prostate cancer journey so far and what he could expect. Before I could ask him if he was all right about me writing up his story, he said to me to make sure I got all the details about the MRI scan when I write it up for my blog, as they were very important. Okay. Richard is on top of and proactive about his health. He looks in his early 40s, but in fact, he is 52. Every year he has a health MOT, and last year his PSA was 3.5. That was the referral threshold for me, but his doctor told him it had since been reduced to 2.9 for a man of his age. He had a digital rectal examination, and the prostate was normal. And the prostate was normal sized and smooth. He also had an MRI scan, and that didn't reveal any problems either. The doctor decided to wait a couple of weeks and to see what result a second PSA test would produce. The second PSA test was still high, so the doctor decided on an MRI scan with contrast. Contrast is where the patient is injected with a magnetic solution which makes the detail in the soft tissue stand out as it is absorbed by organs and tissues from the bloodstream. The vast majority of MRI scans are performed without contrast. This time, an abnormality was detected, which prompted a biopsy. When Richard had the biopsy, the results were conclusive. Of the 11 samples taken, 9 were found to be cancerous. This is the part that Richard wanted me to highlight. He really didn't need to prompt me. Richard's Gleason score ended up being 7. 3+4, which was exactly the same as mine. Just to recap, the Gleason score indicates how aggressive the prostate cancer is. A score of 7 is described as moderately aggressive, while a score of 8 to 10 is described as highly aggressive. I was quiet for a moment while this sunk in. There were a few uncomfortable lingering thoughts. I know of some people that have had the DRE, which was deemed normal, but no PSA test. Richard's DRE was perfectly normal. Richard's PSA was 3.5, which was the hospital referral threshold only a year ago when I had mine. Without the second MRI scan, with contrast, this could have gone very, very differently. I've poured scorn on a couple of GPs that have not acted in their patients' best interests. Thankfully, it's only a tiny amount. The high majority are like Richard's team, determined to get to the bottom of any high PSA result. Thankfully, this has the best potential outcome with its early detection. Richard had been well informed by the nursing team at his hospital. Like I said before, I was worried that, like me, he was too comfortable In fact, with his speckled silver goatee, he was Samuel L. Jackson kind of cool. And knew this was not going to be a walk in the park. We spoke for about 2 hours. Not a comfortable, abstract summary of what to expect, but the high, the low, the tragic and the funny parts of what his experience could be. I gave him all the info that I wish I'd been given. As brilliant as nurses are when talking to patients, writing or reading about case studies and years of experience, there will still always be something missing. If I had years of training, listening and interviewing, lots of women, etc., I still could never explain childbirth to a woman that's had a child. Not only is it very personal, there are subtle differences, subtle nuances that only a woman will ever know, feel and describe. The post effects of prostate cancer are exactly like that. There are lots of subtleties that I have not explained in this blog that I would only say face to face. Why? Well, there's some things that just need to be said face to face with a person and not on paper or even in a telephone call, unless it's geographically impossible. Think trying to relay personal feelings via a text message versus talking on the phone versus talking to someone in front of you. I chose my treatment path because with all the available evidence, it was the best choice for me. On Friday, I met with Nadine and off we went to one of those posh pizza places. Now, not my idea, but hers. I'm quite happy going to some archery bashing high street version. She wants to go a bit posher. Okay. It's on your tab. What do I care? She wanted one with fresh salad and the ambience. I just wanted to eat. I really didn't care. I told her about the A to Z of prostate cancer treatment, as I did with her husband, but this was now how she can support him and what to expect. I told her of the understanding that she will need. I told her based on what I needed, what I wanted, and what I didn't get. You get through the day and there is this horrible Groundhog Day experience, which just continues. Of course it gets better, much better, but it's still a very long process. I gave them both the same final parting message on the days that I saw them. Lock down and wear it out.